Gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Well, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinny Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you in conjunctivitis with with GorillaMedia.co.nz, and some amazing articles posted on there today. Obama officials caught deceiving about WikiLeaks, whatever the U.S. government wants to whenever the U.S. government wants to demonize a personal group in order to justify attacks on them, it shows the exact same playbook. And this is the reason why the government's so easy to figure out, you know. It manufactures falsehoods about them, baselessly warns that they pose grave dangers and are severely harming our national security, peppers all that with personality smears to render the targeted individuals repellent on a personal level, and feeds it all to the establishment American media, which then dutifully amplifies and mindlessly disseminates it all. And, of course, repeats it ever and ever again. It's what we call talking points. Those of you who are addicted to pee, you know what I'm talking about. That, of course, was the precise scheme that so easily led to the US into attacking Iraq. It's what continues to ensure support for the whole litany of war on terror abuses and the bonanza of power and profit which accompanies them. And it's long been obvious that this is the primary needs for generating contempt for WikiLeaks to enable its prosecution and ultimate destruction, an outcome the Pentagon has been plotting since at least 2008. Also, Obama pulls a Clinton. Here we go again. When Clinton suffered an electoral reversal after his first 2 years in office, he abruptly embraced the corporate money guys who had financed his congressional opposition in an effort to purchase a second term. On Tuesday, in this Wall Street Journal op-ed piece, Barack H. O'Barry veered sharply down the exact same course, trumpeting his executive order to remove outdated regulations that stifle job creation and make our economy less competitive. That's code for we're going to make sure that everybody's unemployed and destroy the economy by design. You see, if you just jumble around the words there and basically say that it's the exact opposite of whatever he's saying, it's more closer to the truth, isn't it? For goodness sake. I don't understand why anybody even listens to mainstream media anymore. Oh, wait, that's right, because it's great. You can sit down, and after 30 seconds, you slip into a little zombie dreamlike state, and then you watch the corporate lies pour forth like light particles from some DMT experimentation matrix. Oh, the propaganda. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. With Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz. We are now going to be broadcasting on two New Zealand stations, not just Rush FM in Hamilton. We'll be right back, folks.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
Welcome back, JFK. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes, welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, proudly brought to you in conjunction with the GorillaMedia.co.nz. If you'd like to check out the archives of all the ridiculously amazing guests that we have had and the, well, it's just quite like borderlining on fabulous information that we wind up getting out on the show. In fact, every day that we have a guest on, it surprises me. In fact, I have a very special treat for you today, ladies and gentlemen, a repetitive treat because, you know, it's just so freaking fabulous. Doc Bean from The Watchman. Doc, are you there, mate?
Yeah, I'm here. Always a pleasure, man.
Oh, mate, right back at you, mate. Now, there's been a lot of news passed since we've had you on the show last. Could you give us a wee bit of an update of what's been happening in the States over the last month or so, mate?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we got enough time to go over all of it, but I'll tell you the scariest thing that's going on. And as a former drug and alcohol counselor down in California, I still keep in contact with some of my colleagues. And one of the things that they're involved in down there is, you know, when people come out of addiction, they usually don't have a home, they don't have a job, and they really don't have any financial means to support themselves. And what I'm hearing out of California right now is that cuts have already gone into place where there's just nothing to give them. There's no food to give them. There's no housing for them anymore. And it's not just in that particular field, but it's across the board. Services are being slashed in California. And robberies are happening now for basic items like bread and milk. People are robbing stores to eat down there now, and that's incredible. That's you know, I told you so from last year, you know.
Maybe they got the idea from the LAPD. Raiding all the raw milk stockers, you know. I was just like, oh my God, you've got raw milk. That's a dangerous weapon. I'm going to pull my 9mm on you.
Yeah, that's a scary thought, huh? Raw milk or growing your own food. There's going to be huge fines now for growing your own food. I imagine it'll be less if you buy GMO corn that grows in ice, right? Or a high carbon environment, as they like to say.
Oh, F's sake. It just keeps getting worse and worse, doesn't it, Doc? And, you know, personally, on the street and things like that, I don't know, people just don't see it. Maybe because they're not listening to the news sources that we listen to. Maybe because they're willfully ignorant. I'm not 100% sure. What I am 100% sure of is that we're descending, piece by piece, bit by bit, into total, full-spectrum tyranny.
Oh, I agree with you. 100%. We are... Well, you know, we're about to enter the chaos that they want to bring order out of worldwide. It's really confusing right now with all of the things coming. And I guess it's because they have, you know, option one, option two, option three. Option one being this World Environment Organization that's the global government that's going to do all this global governing they keep talking about. The big meeting, of course, is for Cancun on the anniversary of, in Rio on the anniversary of the 20-year anniversary of the old Rio Agenda 21 meeting that they had, and they've planned a revisit to that. And they've demanded that this World Environment Organization, the green Marxist / fascist, get their global government to do climate governing. Well, we know what that means, right? No more sovereignty for anyone.
Oh, isn't that lovely of them?
We can't interpret it that way, Doc. We can't interpret it like that. I mean, it's just... It's kind of like the argument that the government would never enforce any bill against growing your own food, or how would they... People say, well, how are they really going to enforce that? How are they going to enforce the fact that you can't spread your own... You know, you can't have your family spread your ashes down the beach anymore without a permit here in Auckland, New Zealand? How are they going to really enforce that? Well, it's not a matter of enforcing it. It's a matter of them setting what's normal, culture jamming via legislation and influencing people's morality, in effect.
Yeah, and then the public gets all flaccid and when you tell them about this stuff and they go, oh, the government would never do that. I got news for you, folks. They can and they will. I got an email from somebody who heard the show on Rush FM just yesterday saying that he likes the show and he likes how we get to spew our opinion on, but saying that you should just be thankful that you live in a country that has free speech. If you're in Saudi Arabia, you'd have your head cut off.
Why have they always got to say that? Why have they always got to say you should be thankful for an inalienable right that no one can take away? I wouldn't care if I was in Caesar's Rome right now. I mean, no one can take away the right to open your mouth and say what you want. And
apart from a judge.
He's just pragmatic and says, oh, you should be thankful for what liberties you do have, regardless of what we're losing right now.
I mean, it's just like that story we read out on the show, how a judge sent a guy to jail for 28 days for swearing at him. You know, you will get free speech in this country. Airfall.
Did you reply to this idiot?
No. Well, and I don't want to call him an idiot or anything like that. I mean, I'd rather just call him a moron.
I do.
What's your take on it, Doc? I mean, you know, people, I presume that it's the exact same kind of cultureless, slag-jumping sort of crapola in the United States as it is here in New Zealand, because we've all got the exact same New World Order government structure.
It's gotten much worse here since, of course, the shooting, the Jared Loughner shooting, and I'm sure that your audience has heard a lot about that over the last few weeks. But, you know, they have to take away our free speech. If free speech, at least as far as the founders here in America were concerned, was to give you the ability to speak against tyrannical government. And if your government's goal is tyranny, is total control, then they can't afford for you to be able to speak out against what's going on. So you've seen all of these calls. Brad Sherman, he was the worst. He comes on and says, we know Jared didn't have anything, wasn't listening to right-wing talk radio, wasn't a member of any of these right-wing sites, but, and he uses an analogy, he says, if you know or you think smoking causes a heart attack, then you stop smoking, i.e., if you think that maybe someday, somewhere, sometime, somebody might hear something someone says, then you stop those people from saying what they're saying. That's the kind of rhetoric we have going on here in America right now, and people should be very afraid of that, because our ability to be critical of things that interfere with our freedoms are a fundamental basis of our Constitution and our right to be free, and I just think everybody should be absolutely terrified at the thought of losing free speech.
Well, rather than terrified, I'd probably say be angry, you know, do something about it.
Well said, Doc. I mean, well said. I mean, it's a circular thing as far as my mind sees it. If you take away, if you say that, you know, Doc's responsible for, you know, anti-government sentiment, and therefore when some, you know, loose unit hears it, he could then turn on the government or, you know, turn his weapons upon some congresswoman. Well, that's ridiculous, because what they're doing is taking away the individual's responsibility for their own actions. And when you take away individual responsibility, you take away the other side of that, which is liberty, individual freedoms. And so it is a direct attack on our freedoms, just the very idea that we can't circulate ideas that might not be popular.
Well, I wanted to actually read out this guy's comment in total. I've just recently heard the show on Rush FM in Hamilton, New Zealand, and I think it's great. You are voicing your opinions, but I think you should be grateful that you actually live in a country that has freedom of speech. If you lived in the Middle East, you would be hung or shot. I believe it's not the government or the corporations that you hate, but indeed yourselves. But hey, at the end of the day, it's just so easy to blame the government, isn't it?
No, because I didn't pass
you,
the
emissions. You see,
who is the guy?
It's laughable, isn't it?
What's the guy's name, if he's listening today?
KFAD95. KFAD95. That's his YouTube name.
Whatever your name is, punk. I mean look, I didn't pass the emissions trading scheme here in New Zealand, you freak. Okay? I'm not the one indebting the country at $300 million a week. I'm not empowering that. I didn't vote for that crap. One of your friends or mates or probably yourself did. I mean, I am not to blame for that. I don't hate myself. I did not do that. Can't you see the separation of powers? I mean, what is wrong with these people? I mean, is this so ethereal? Oh, you're just reflecting your hatred of the world. It comes from your inner. It comes from your own discomfort with yourself.
It's all projection.
You haven't aligned your chi, and the government's just fine. They wouldn't be in a position of power if they weren't great people. You're just envious that you don't have a $200,000 job and you don't live in John Key's neighborhood. I mean, it's so sad. This
is yeah, that guy's, I don't know. I think they have medication for that. That might make him worse, though. I don't know. That's an amazing analogy he gave there. I guess that's the old, if you're not doing anything wrong, the government must love you kind of thing, and just go along with the, you know, follow that lead sheep into the chute. You'll be okay on the other side. Of course, you'll be wrapped in plastic and headed to market, but hey.
Yeah. And there's an antithesis to that statement, you know. I mean, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to hide. Well, let me just put this into perspective for you. If you're not doing anything wrong, the government shouldn't assume that you're a criminal and try to surveil you. All right?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. There are a lot of bad guys out in society. We all know that. But they have all the means in the world to target those people. They don't have to just paint everyone with a broad brush. But that's what most of these laws are designed for, buddy, whoever wrote that YouTube comment. I mean, these laws are blanket laws that use a small minority of society, like 19 hijackers, false hypotheses, to go and invade a whole country and kill millions of people. I mean, this is... Yeah, he just doesn't see it. He'll never see it. Sad. But he thinks it's our opinion. Is it our opinion that over 1 million Iraqis are dead? Is it our opinion that the Federal Reserve is a privately owned bank and debt in America, hand over fist right now? Is it our opinion that debt has gone up in a linear fashion with the money supply from 1950 in the United States? I mean... Is it our opinion that the U.S. currency was devalued 97% from 1913 to 2007? I mean, are these things our opinion? I mean, what sort of cop-out is that?
Well, it's the same thing that happened when you called up, what was his name, Willie Jackson. You talked about the Federal Reserve system like that and creating money out of nothing in fractional reserve. And he says, oh, that's an interesting opinion. Now, perhaps people are parlaying fact as opinion because they don't want to accept the facts.
No, there's no facts in their world. Do you think so, Doc? I mean, do you think there's any facts in these people's world?
Well, I think it's reached the point now where facts, at least to the folks behind the agenda, don't matter. They've learned long ago that you can drown out facts with repetitive talking points that people will then become confused. And if they say it often enough, you know, because they're people in positions of power, they've got an agenda. And part of their strategy has always been using something developed in the Frankfurt School called critical theory, which is if something is against your agenda, whether it be truthful or not, you criticize it from every angle so that when a person hears the information, and if it's the first time they've heard it, they hear it negatively, from that point on, their subconscious will remember it negatively. So if they get enough negative, I'll call it pings, because that's how it is online. If they get enough negative pings of information into their subconscious, they'll automatically start viewing even something factual in a negative way. And I really think the people that are behind this collectivist agenda, this globalist agenda, have perfected that art to the point now where they can obscure the truth to the point where everyone is kind of seeing facts through a fog now. And it's really easy to discourage somebody that really has to work at digging for the truth, because people don't want to work anymore very hard. They expect the truth to be there, and when it's hard to get to, they just decide to believe whatever there's most of. And that's why radio stations like yours are so important, because you kind of cut through that fog for people, you know, and present ideas for them to hear that aren't slanted. That's why what we do here is important. That's why we do it.
I think it's important. Are we not too slanted? But, you know, this guy just assumes, he's like, you should be thankful that you still have the right to freedom of speech. I mean, assuming that we aren't, I mean, do you just want us to get down on our knees on this radio show for 2 hours a day and say, oh, thank you, great Mammon government, thank you, thank you, thank you for this speech right now, thank you for this opportunity, you are God? I mean, what does the guy want? Why is that the automatic assumption? It says a real psychological problem these people have. And they don't mind working hard. I mean, they don't want to work for facts. You're right. You're right, Doc. But they love working hard to tie to the government. That's patriotic. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of a conversation that I had with my brother about mental illness, and his point was, you know, some of the people that are talking about the topics that we're talking about are mentally ill, and my point was, well, in fact, if you have a look at the majority of society and you look at it objectively, it's not just the people, some of the people that are talking about these type of topics that are mentally ill, it's in fact the majority of society that is mentally ill. Okay,
I would like to do a study.
It's relatively fantastic when you think about it like that, because the people who currently appear insane, and this is the great thing about the topsy-turvy world we live in, where everything's kind of basically translates as its opposite, where everything doesn't make sense, and therefore everything makes sense, right? Nothing, no poisons are bad for you, therefore they're good for you. And therefore, what's happening with the psychological conditioning that we're all kind of experiencing is sanity becomes crazy, all right, and facts become fiction. And that is the real problem that we have here, is that we don't understand what things really are. And it's like you said, it's that fog of war. People don't really comprehend the fact that there is a freaking war going on here, okay? Your brain is the battlefield. And if you choose to not be a soldier, you're a civilian. And civilians, and innocent or not, will die with the rest of them.
Well, Vinny, I'd like to add to that before we get carried away. I'd like to actually – I'd love for someone to do a study, independent somehow. I don't know how it'd be independent, of IQs, regardless of what people think about IQ tests, regardless of all that controversy. But take an IQ test, because that's how the mainstream likes to measure people. So we'll go by their standards. We'll go by their judgment. If you did an IQ test of truthers versus average people, non-truthers, conspiracy deniers, people who think we're freak lunatics – I bet the national debt of this country that truthers, that conspiracy freaks like us, are at least 20 IQ points on average smarter than the nons, than the average, than the normal people who laugh at us. I guarantee it, just from experience of meeting people like us, Vinny.
You might be right there, because I find intelligent people are a lot more easy to get along with, and, you know, they're more likely to be truthers for some reason. I mean, I haven't met any dumb truthers yet. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Doc Bean, and we will be right back after this very short break. Stay with us. And we are back, as arrogant as ever, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Our very special guest joining us for the duration of this hour is Doc Bean, broadcasting live from his anti-New World Order tripwire-laced bunker somewhere in the continental US. Doc, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Remember, place this side towards the enemy.
Yeah, I like the concrete bunker. It's actually an abandoned gold mine. I just throw it out there.
Watch out for the cyanide.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be good. You know, you can etch a living out there when the dollar becomes worthless.
Yeah, unfortunately, it turned out to be a silica mine, so at least I'll be able to make glass, huh? Guy never struck gold, but he found silica in there. But it is pretty cool. It's on the property. It's pretty cool to have.
Just in case you want some kind of transparent government house. I can dream. I can dream. buddy. Get this, man. Barack H. O'Barry. Have you heard of this Project Endgame?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of it.
What do you know about it? As far as I know, it's a hit list, a government hit list of 775,000 US citizens, both continental and abroad, that can be that are on a list to be arrested and or executed. Have you heard this? Because I was really disturbed to hear about this, but I can't be 100% sure of its validity.
Well, interestingly enough, I have looked into that, and it's actually been around for a while. The first I had heard of it was when George Bush was president, junior, right? And when I looked into it, it was quite a bit bigger than just a list, supposedly, of people they were going to pick up. And there were some other facets to it that may or may not have been true. But the first that I had heard of detention camps was part of a Project Endgame, and the PDF that I read on it, it was, of course, portrayed as to be used versus an illegal alien invasion. It was how it was set up. But in reading further into it, you saw sections where it was political dissidents and all kinds of definitions that could really fit anybody they considered a threat. And that was what turned me on to looking into these detention centers that are on military bases, found out that those did exist. And so then you had to go back to the PDF and look at that and say, well, if these pieces all exist, then there's reason to believe that it's highly possible that they do have lists of people that under certain circumstances, you know, some types of unrest or whatever, that the government would be looking to suppress. It wouldn't surprise me a bit, not with a government that's willing to assassinate its citizens right now, which is currently legal, apparently, under Obama.
Mm-hmm. And another video that came out was talking about the manufacture in the U.S. of guillotines. You hear about that as well? I thought that was very, very scary, man. You know, I was like, what the heck's going on here? And it turns out that U.S. Army Rangers are being trained how to use these guillotines, and they're not being told what for.
I saw that stuff, too. I saw that. That's about a year old, too, I'd say, maybe two. There was an actual crash on the freeway, apparently, that actually made one of the mainstream papers. I want to say Arizona, but I think just simply because so much has happened in Arizona. But one of those southwestern states where there were modern Chinese-made guillotines in a truck overturned on the highway. That was a real article. I tried to look into the other pieces, and it's just it doesn't lead me to anything concrete. So I can't say for sure that they have them set up at Fort Benning or anything like that. But some of the information said that. But I can say for sure that the article where the truck crashed that had these things in it did exist. And to me, that raises all kinds of questions. Seems to me that would be an issue that people would want to know about. Why do we have Chinese guillotines a whole truckload in America? So I asked the questions, couldn't get any answers. It was like a dead end, just silence.
Which is all the more suspicious and freaky, maybe a little bit. But, you know, maybe I'm just being paranoid about this. Maybe huge truckloads of guillotines being shipped across the U.S., is a good thing for some benevolent reason. You know, maybe somebody is trying to look for a shortcut way to cut lettuce or something.
Yeah, cut back carbon emissions. I'll tell you what's freaky, what the scariest thing is. And I talked about this on my radio show day before yesterday. I was sitting here at the house, and I was prepping to do an interview, and the phone rang, and it was recording. And it said, "Hi, this is the FBI, and we have a new pilot program, a new neighborhood watch program. And we would like to know if you are interested in us coming out, putting cameras around your house. And we can put a sign in your front yard saying you are a participant in this new FBI watch program. If you are interested, press 3. If not, press 9. Well, I must have pressed like 9,999,099 and broke the 9 button on my phone. But, and it was a recording, right? So, to me, That was that's probably the most insane call I've ever gotten. And if they're putting out these kind of calls around the country, imagine how many people are going to say, sure, come and put cameras all over my house. And what do they need all those cameras for, and where are they getting the money for that? I was astounded by that. I really was. And I asked on my radio show, has anybody else gotten this recorded call? I don't know. Maybe it's just a pilot thing they're doing out here in the Northwest. I'm not sure, but to me, that all fits in with the new control grid state, whether it be scanners in the airports or the bus stations. Heck, they're talking about putting them in banks and federal buildings and, you know, kind of Skynet, Brother in the Sky, We're Watching You program. Blimps in the sky that can see you. You can't shoot down, and we're turning into the massive surveillance state that really had in 1984, combined with, of course, A Brave New World's mindless entertainment, so people don't realize that they're enslaved and living in a fishbowl, you know?
That's just too freaky, Doc. That's just too freaky that they just call you up saying, would you love a camera system to keep you safe from the bad guys? And, of course, it won't be a private camera system. It'll be something hooked into their grid, and they'll have some live, real-time connection. I was actually out, this is probably about 2 years ago now, I was out just doing a bushwalk through native forest about 10 k's away from where I live, and I found a camera system in a tree, just sitting there in a tree. It was just some sort of camera system, so I went back there later that night and removed it. I'd do a little bit of climbing, a little bit of hacking, removed this camera system, took it back home. Actually made sure it didn't have any hard connection that was tracking me before I took it, and pulled it apart, pulled the SD card out of it, put it into my computer, had a look at what they were surveilling, which was nothing in particular. But this was then marked Auckland City Council. It was a government, the government's property. It's now sitting in my driveway if they want to collect it. I'm using it for my own purposes, put my own memory card in it. But I mean, I was like, whoa, this is in a small suburban town. Why are they putting cameras up in trees? I was just blown out of my mind. If you want it, then I'm going to expose the fact you had it there. But, you know, total bastards. FBI calling you up. I mean, and so many people will be sucked into this, wouldn't they, Doc?
I would think so. And, you know, it being a computer-generated call, right, like it was, not an actual person, makes it kind of disarming, you know, like, hey, this is just a pilot program that we've got here, you know, and it's neighborhood watch, right? So that means the cameras will be running 24/7, surveilling everything that goes on at your house, around your house. Heck, you might have to burn trash or something, and maybe you might burn it on the wrong day. You'll have a record of that. You'll be getting fines. It's insanity to me, right?
And just to pick up routines in general, right? Just general intel gathering operation.
Yeah, imagine if half of the homes in your neighborhood had this camera system everywhere you went. You know, it would be like, oh, there was a movie out where a guy was a TV show. I can't remember his name now. I can't remember the name of it now, but where he lived in this TV show and everybody around him was an actor and he was the most popular show, right? That's what everybody's life would end up being like
18 months ago,
if they allowed
cameras into 2,000 homes in a trial.
Yeah, it's just insanity. Freaked me out, I'll tell you. And it freaked out our audience, too. When I told them, I said, yeah, expect to start hearing these automated calls of the government, you know, basically making you one of the biggest fears in Nazi Germany was not necessarily the SS, but it was your neighbor, you know, informing on you. Same thing in Stalin's Russia. They kind of relied on the people and kind of rewarded folks for turning other people in. Well, in this particular instance, you'd be a willing participant in that, and you'd actually be able to surveil for 24 hours because you're submitting to cameras to be in your yard that really infringe on the rights of all your neighbors, because if you give them the right to film everything that goes on outside your house as a neighborhood watch, that means it's watching all your neighbors without their consent. And I just don't see how in a free nation you can monitor folks without their consent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. regardless of who decides it's okay. I get camera security systems to guard your house, but that's not what these were for. It said neighborhood watch. That means to watch your neighbors. Watch your neighbors for what?
Camera security system that you can tap into your computer or whatnot. But, I mean, you talk about the Stasi scenario. In Soviet Russia, wasn't like 1 in 10 people were recruited by the government as citizen spies? I believe the ratio was 1 in 10. I have to fact check that. But Barack Obama, you know, suggesting 3 million green jobs to be eco sort of spies, to go green police. So that's 1 in 100 Americans. And that's just the eco side of it. Then they can build up, you know, anti-terror forces. They're also trying to recruit young sort of cadets, you know, under the age of 16 into government programs. And just helping your community. So what they use is a good community ethic. Like the underpinnings of the principle may be good, and then they just apply it in a fascist totalitarian way.
That's kind of how all of these systems are set up. The whole green agenda is about control. They say it themselves. It's not about saving the earth. It's about wealth redistribution, and it's about their solution to the problem. And their solution to the problem is there's not enough resources for the people. The most carbon is emitted by, according to them, people. So the easiest way to cut it, according to all their reports, is to get rid of the people. Well, first you got to monitor the people to see which ones they're going to get rid of. That's what the health care bill here was all about. The death panels are all about. They're talking about a 5/6 reduction in population is the fraction that I've heard most often. So I'm going to go with that one. They're talking about a Chinese control-style government. It's insane. Go ahead.
They admit at a high level all these things that's really about control. But then the worrying thing I find, Doc, is that a lot of people who aren't at high levels just are maybe just kind of really active in your local community on these green matters. Really do believe in that, in those principles also, that there are too many people, that there needs to be a redistribution of resources, a redistribution of wealth. They really do believe in this Marxist model. And those aren't even the controllers setting legislation. These are just people, busybodies down the road working for Oxfam and Greenpeace.
Yeah, Lord Malkin said very clearly what happened to Greenpeace. The communists infiltrated Greenpeace and have been pushing this green Marxist agenda ever since. And I've had a chance to investigate that. He's absolutely correct. So when you look at Greenpeace, those folks are using the goodwill of people because, you know, there's nothing wrong with being concerned about the earth. In fact, it shows that you care about things. But there's something wrong when folks take people's good intentions and twist it into something that's sinister.
Yep, I completely agree. You're listening to Doc Bean on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. We will be right back after the break.
Some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Business man there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you with the somewhat conjecture of GorillaMedia.co.nz. We're talking about over the break about whenever we have Doc on as a guest, it kind of brings out the best in me and Will. Doc, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, man. It's always fun.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea, isn't it? That's why we call it the lighter side of genocide, because this is just terrible stuff going on. And, you know, if you can't have a laugh about it, you will go insane. Now, we've been talking about militancy. Now, at what point, really, do you reckon that the American public would in fact start getting militant? I mean, the dollar collapse, food crisis would probably be the choke point, as far as I know, where independent militias and things like that in the United States would actually start possibly militarily resisting the government, like martial law scenarios, things like that. I'm just wondering what your take is on this, Doc. I mean, because you've been in the military and you're fully prepared to fight the government if needs be, but how have you come about?
Well, you know, my view on this is a bit different than some others, and it's been evolving a little more recently. And I used to think that there was a very good possibility that here in America, enough people would band together and stand up and stop what's going on. But in light of recent developments and the refusal of people to get along or even to work together, whether they don't like each other, my thinking has changed to individually in groups, you should be preparing to be on your own. You should be preparing to basically avoid the government and try and ride out the worst, because I think the most likely problems will come from not necessarily the government moving against the people, but the people who were not expecting what's coming to 29 states are going to cut massive benefits. And when that happens, people aren't going to be able to eat. And I really think that people's worst problem is going to come from those who aren't ready, who are going to be in the streets. The store shelves are going to be empty. Things will be burning. You can take the L.A. riots as an example of what it'll look like in some of these bigger cities when these folks that are used to just being able to pay their rent because they've thought it was a human right and those things, when that's gone, it's not going to be nice. And I don't see anybody willing to put aside their differences enough anymore to form any kind of real front against the government. I believe that more than likely in your groups you're going to have to avoid the control takeover and probably try and ride out the worst and let the government exhaust itself trying to quell the food riots and things that are coming. Maybe something will happen soon that'll change my mind, but as it sits right now, and I'm pretty well connected in the movements and the groups that are more than likely going to stand up, and there is a substantial portion that may stand together, but they're not big enough, and there's enough groups that should be willing to get along, at least for freedom, that refuse to, and that's very disheartening. But at this stage of the game, it's very iffy. 50-50 chance at best that the militias or anyone else will have an active role against the government. I think we're probably in store for our own personal Wacos wherever we are if it comes to that at this point. I hope that it changes, but at this point I'm not very optimistic.
Because we've heard that food prices are being speculated on and they're being driven up hugely. They've been quoted as being called the derivatives of death. And every moment that somebody bets on food prices going up, it's kind of a bit, heartless, come to think of it, because ultimately, if you allow the bidding on food prices to go up, even that way, shape, or form, then they wind up invariably going up anyway. And so the problem is that oil prices are shooting up, food prices are shooting up. Those are the two key staples in any economic and survivable fashion. And it's going to push these products out of the reach of most people. So the populations of the United States, New Zealand, anywhere in the world, really, are going to be experiencing this incredible squeeze. And there has to be some kind of breaking point, you know, where people just go, all right, enough is enough. And as you said before, you know, people are starting to steal staples like bread and milk in California. You know, so in essence, it has already begun.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think that folks are going to have to decide real soon whether the very thing that their ancestors fought and died to give them here, which was the freedom to choose their destiny and to choose how their children would be raised and to have their own piece of property, if they're not willing to stand up for that here soon together, then everybody's going to lose it, no matter what you believe. You're not going to be free to believe what you wish or to live how you wish anymore. That's really what's at stake.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to thank you very much, Doc, for coming on the show with us today. Always a pleasure, never a chore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doc.
All right.
Awesome.
There he goes, Doc Bean, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, you can check out thewatchman.fm to check out his fabulous little radio network there. And I believe, in fact, he might be an affiliate of American Freedom Radio very soon. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We'll be right back, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally Rush 89 FM in Hamilton. We have a wonderful archive section available if you missed part of the show or you just kind of want to download it and keep it for your personal records at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. We have a fabulous guest for you, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, this was a person who was recommended to me by my good friend Jonathan Eisen, and he said he would be basically the best interview that we would ever have on the show. High praise indeed. Welcome to the show, Calvin Alp.
G'day, guys.
All right, spirited right. Already. Hey, now, Calvin, I'd like you to just lay it down. Who are you, and what kind of stuff have you been getting into over your assorted history?
I'll give you a quick synopsis. Never been one to follow the crowd. Always seem to go against the grain. It depends on who you ask. It will depend, of course, who I am. Type my name into Google, you'd think I was a devil spawn itself. Other people either love me, they hate me. To me, it doesn't really matter as long as I do what I do and I try to help as many people as I can on the way through. Certainly those who've got something to gain by misery of others that have something to worry about.
And apparently you're quite infamous in this country. There was a, I was told that you in fact had an armed contingent outside BNZ Bank at one point. What was, is that true?
Oh no, the stories have been pretty wild. Yeah, there was a group of us, 96, 97, all former military. See, I wasn't in the military a majorly long time. Most of my military training came after the fact, after I left the New Zealand Army, of where I was at Linton Military Camp, 1 RNZIR, 1st Battalion. Left there, approached, we were trained. We carried out a few jobs overseas. Came back and thought, you know, this country's in a hell of a mess. Let's try to change it. Let's try to influence it, knowing all along that there's been a hell of a lot of people out there all fighting different parts of the spectrum. You know, we all go off and on tangents and in groups. Some people want to fight the tax man and string him up. Others want to grab a politician and hang him from the nearest lamppost. Others want to do all sorts of things. And we all seem to be attacking omnidirectional. No one ever actually gets very far. The protests, you know, we grab our little placards, we write our little signs on there, we go down the street, and all we're left with at the end of the day is a whole lot of sheep who've just gone home again after feeling like they've done themselves a favour, vented their spleens, and really achieved what amounts to nothing. I mean, you get nothing from the government that they aren't prepared to anyway. Case in point, if I wanted to raise property taxes by 10%, being the government, I'll tell you that I'm going to raise it 20%. What happens? I'll come back. Because that's important. So it'll give you basically a state of my mindset.
All right, cool. Our guest is Calvin Alp, ladies and gentlemen. Google him. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, also coming out on Rush 89 FM in Hamilton and various other radio stations around the world, which is very, very, well, we're quite happy about that, really, because this kind of information, you won't hear it on mainstream media, let's be honest. And you do need to hear it. Need to. All right? It's like a survival mechanism for your brain. Our very special guest is Calvin Alp. And you were talking about the banking system or something before we came onto the break there, Calvin?
Well, it's a typical ploy of a government and why, you know, a lot of people seem to feel like every time they'll do a protest and they get something that falls to their favour, all of a sudden they're wrapped, and it's like they feel their voice can actually accomplish something. Well, really, it doesn't accomplish stuff all. I mean, I was talking about a property tax. If I was the government and I wanted to raise the property tax by 10%, I'll tell you, the public, it's going up by 20%. Automatically, that will spark a whole lot of protests. It'll have you all out on the streets screaming blue murder. And then after a little while of letting it seethe away for a while, I will say, you're right, we'll drop it to 10. You'll all go up in chairs. You'll say, yes, our voices were heard. Democracy reigns. And I'll get everything I wanted. And I'll implement a tax you never wanted to begin with. But you're happy that it's 10%. You know? very easy.
Yep, because people compromise all the time, don't they? They just
always
they're happy with second best.
Absolutely, always.
Well, it's the thing, you know, if you endlessly compromise, you wind up with nothing. Compromise is when one person gets something and another person gets something. But, you know, what's actually happening now in our society, compromise is when you get nothing and everything gets taken off you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Sorry, Calvin.
No worries.
Go ahead.
Oh, I heard your guest, previous guest, good speaker, actually, who was talking about, you know, you guys were talking about education, health, global warming, all sorts of stuff. I myself have had a lot of spirited debates about those particular subjects with complete dorks. You know, you can't describe them as anything else. I mean, I said, look, anyone who does third form science can prove global warming to be completely wrong. I mean, most of the Arctic ice is floating in the water. Therefore, displacement, the volume displacement's already taken place. So even if it all melts, the water level's not going to rise one single millimetre. Then it just leaves the ice on the land. Take the circumference of the Earth, the thickness of the ice, and if it was to all completely melt, it'll rise by no more globally by 0.6 of a metre at the very, very outside. You're not going to sprout gills and all die from a watery death. You know, it's impossible. Look at carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is needed for plants, trees, and things of that nature. That's our food chain. But the greenies, the watermelon party especially, I call them watermelon party because they're green on the outside, communist red on the inside. And they'll all have you believe that we need to get rid of carbon dioxide. Sure, let's do that. Let's kill off our food supply. And our animals eat the grass and we eat the animals, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, let's get rid of carbon dioxide and die. I mean, if people really want to be healthy, they really want to ensure life continues, et cetera, stop polluting the bloody planet. It's quite simple. Get rid of pollution. It's got nothing to do with carbon dioxide. There's an equilibrium here. We keep polluting things.
Yeah.
We keep diseasing the planet. The diseased planet then infects us. We then start getting all sorts of illness known to man. And then you've got the pharmaceutical companies making billions of dollars off this illness maintenance system. Nothing to do with the health system. They're not interested in health. They're interested in a steady supply of sick people so they can push their drugs down your throat and make billions and billions and billions of dollars a year. And by doing that, we will then also create new illnesses we're going to have to come up with drugs for from the side effects. So what a way to make money. It's like a bloody casino.
I know.
It's something they needed to be sustainable.
This argument's like a guillotine. It's pretty clear cut.
they want everything to be, like you say, they want a steady stream of sick people, just like the police want a steady stream of crime. Just want, you know, they've all become turned into industries. No one's interested in the root causes. And if someone like yourself wants to go and attack the root causes of the problems in society and actually make a better world and help people, they'll call you a nut. They'll say you're out of the paradigm, or you know, you're too extreme or something.
Or a white supremacist and a Māori radical. Now, how do you get that? That's sort of an oxymoron, isn't it? But if I was an extremist like a white supremacist, and I was an extremist like a Māori radical, wouldn't that be perfectly balanced? It's like yin yang, fits together perfectly. That'd be balanced, surely.
Yeah, that means you care about, you know, the rights of all peoples, effectively, doesn't it?
Exactly right.
Can't have that.
Oh, exactly. No, we certainly can't have that. Let's take this guy to the nut house, you know.
I've always said that the key to balance is being able to swing to either extreme and being able to come back to the centre again, you know?
Oh, exactly. It's exactly right. I mean, you know, watching what they push in the mainstream media is interesting. I mean, and you can tie it all back to money. The whole lot comes back to money. The environmental issues come back to money. Power and control comes back to money. You know, people say, oh, we haven't got enough to eat. That's rubbish. There's plenty to eat. It's the distribution that's the problem. And at the moment, the people who control the method of distribution, which is the almighty dollar, you see, the dollar's become the new god. The banks are its disciples. And we're all now, you know, we're now the congregation.
Yeah, well, maybe
hello,
we
the banker walked down towards Nazareth.
we hop on about having an actual nationalized bank that doesn't issue money out of debt. And what they do, they just cut the balls off our own Reserve Bank of New Zealand here, and so that we have to borrow off the Japanese and off the Europeans and all the central bankers, all these Rockefellers and Rothschilds who we're indebted to, and that's how our rate of inflation is determined and everything else. But no one gives a damn, and everyone just thinks paying taxes is patriotic.
Oh, I know. I think it's between us, of course. I think it's every person's or every man and woman's obligation to avoid paying tax to these criminal pricks. Oh, sorry, I can't swear on this, eh? I've been really good to try and suppress that because I get a bit passionate at times.
Well, pricks is fine, but we can't go much further than that, unfortunately, on the show. I think that everyone knows what we're feeling here. The problem is, like you say, there has to be some sort of collective effort. And as long as they keep marginalizing us, as long as we're only 1%, 2%, 3%, they can maintain control. That's the sad thing.
And that's where we have the problem, the collectiveness. There is none, like you say. Like I said, you've got the people fighting tax. You got others fighting banks. You've had a couple of people on the show previously, like Dilip Rupa and that. He's actually a very good man. He's been fighting the BNZ for a long time. I had a run-in with the BNZ personally myself, where I got arrested for criminal harassment, all because I visited his house at 9:30 at night just once and made a follow-up phone call to his office. And this was all over the late Philip Very, who was actually a person who was derived for going against the Wool Board when he created the Wool Corporation, et cetera, et cetera. We didn't think it was fair how the BNZ treated him. A 15-year-old daughter of one of his business partners committed suicide because the BNZ's inadequacy to manage their affairs properly gave him bad advice, and it was quite plain. I mean, I delivered a 7-page investigation and assessment on the whole matter. Then all of a sudden, they brought the Cooper Group in, which is former SAS and all that sort of stuff, you know, diplomatic protection, et cetera, police and all that in there, and spent over $1 million protecting the CEO, Peter Leonard Thodey, who lives in Remuera. And this is all public knowledge, so it's okay. And tried to drag me through the courts and have me done for criminal harassment. They lost, of course.
They got the men in black on you, pretty much.
Oh, mate, you can even look forward from there to March 1st, 2004. Over 30 special tactics group, fully armed, and over 100 police personnel involved in serving a low-key, apparently, search warrant at my home when I was in Glenross in Manurewa. You know, closed down the street and all sorts of stuff. Rifles pointed at my kids' heads, and one of them was, you know, still sort of had to be carried around. So, yeah, it really pissed me off. I wasn't a happy boy at all. And then they took me to Harlech House, which is no to who. Issued me with a trespass notice too, by the way. They trespassed me from prior to that from the building they took me to. The police issuing trespass notices to me. Surely they want me. So why would they want to trespass me? But they've tried all manner of different things. They've asked me to work for them. I can't even give you the name of the guy who asked me, because this is a fact. You know, I'll challenge him to say otherwise. That's Mike Puckey, Detective Mike Puckey. I tried to get the full contents of the affidavit that was sworn against me in the court to obtain this dodgy search warrant. And there was a lot of paragraphs blacked out for reasons of national security, you know.
So have Warren Tucker's boys at SIS given you a call too, I suppose?
No, they sent up a guy from the threat assessment unit to have a talk to us and all that. I mean, we made it quite known, you know, that we weren't going to be messed about. As far as we're concerned, they were just tin pot soldiers with little blue badges. And, you know, although... I mean, I like the old school policeman who would be in the community. He'd be known. You know, if you always taught if you're in trouble, you go to that person. He will help you, et cetera, et cetera. Now you're taught run away from the mug because he'll set you up for something. You know, it's now a them and us, and that's I can't see that changing anytime soon.
And I mean, I hear so many stories, and a couple myself. When you go to a police officer for help. or about somebody else, they try to convince you to not lay a complaint, right? And if somebody, say, assaulted you, for example, they'll call you up half a dozen times and ask you, are you really sure you want to press charges? Are you really sure? But, you know, if you're smoking a joint in the street or something, oh, my God, you're a criminal, we're going to kill you.
and if you mess with the money, my God, is that hell and fire and brimstone then? I mean, if a little old lady gets mugged in her house, they'll send a couple of squad cars and do a bit of a yawn and take a statement. But if you've got somebody who takes money from a bank, geez, they've got the Eagle helicopter up, they've got armed guards everywhere, they've got people sealing off everything. You know, it's like you've just stolen the crown jewels.
Not hard to see who they're working for, is it?
Oh, exactly. It's just the money masters for sure. I mean, it's none of us, you know. I mean, yep. Crime rates and all that are up for one reason only. Everything's a crime now. I mean, they've got legislation that is already passed and in the works where look at us smokers. Well, I've just recently given up, but when I was smoking, I was like a leper, you know. At one stage, we used to be cool. It was actively encouraged. You're cool if you do this. Yep, you smoke this, you're going to be fine. Then all of a sudden it starts killing everyone. The government says that is bad. No, you can't smoke anymore, even though we're making millions of dollars off this legal genocide, because that's basically what it is. They're profiting off mass death, and they know it's killing people.
They formed agreements.
Yep.
A spokesperson, good friend of my parents, spokesperson for British American Tobacco, ex-spokesperson, was down here and he was having dinners with Tuariki Delamore and a whole bunch of the Type 5 guys, you know, friends with Winston Peters. Government and corporations are colluding together to say, how can we best come to an agreement? You guys put warning labels on your cigarette packets, and so we can still profiteer and, you know, make a whole bunch of money in the health system as well.
That's exactly right.
but then at the same time, like you say about pollution, you go into the whole pollution debate. What do they care about all the plasticizers that they're using in packaging? What do they care about the fluoridation of water supplies? I mean, I'm sure you're in agreement on all these issues too.
Oh, definitely fluoridation. I mean, people have been hammering on about that for ages, and rightfully so. And even the US now. Who, let's face it, the US mindset, US government mindset, because a lot of the people in the US are great people, but their government truly sucks. And they've just come out and actually released reports where, guess what, guys, fluoride is not so good for you. Well, hello. That's nice. It's like the Federal Drug Administration. They'll pass every disease-bearing drug known to man if they get a few dollars slipped into their pocket. Then all of a sudden, 20 years later, when it's killing people left, right, and center, and only after thousands and thousands of people trying to make this known, them completely denying it all the time, say, oh, no, you were right, we're going to remove it, and they'll blame someone else for it. You know?
But we're still right-wing conspiracy theorists for saying it's bad, for saying something proven in the 1920s to kill people is bad. Exactly. We're right-wing nuts.
And the admission of all the dangers of it are all whitewash, you know. All it's doing is like doing it a tiny little bit of damage to your teeth. Well, F off.
Exactly. I mean, look at aspartame. In every artificial sweetener around now, you have it in extra chewing gum, you have it in everything. It's a neurotoxin. It'll break down your system. You know, you put your hands up, you'll start getting small shakes and that. You give it to pregnant females or children, they're not going to develop mentally properly. I mean, this is what they want.
And the government is selling this to kids in our shops right as we speak.
Exactly. And the greenies are
the little bastards.
Yeah, the greenies are promoting it. Buy zero this and zero that because there's no sugar.
Because it's calorie-free.
Exactly. Sugar gives
you diet. It contains alcohol.
Yeah,
it contains a methanol branch. You know that, eh? It breaks down to, like, it's got PKU, it's got methanol. It's terrible stuff.
It doesn't break down to methanol. It breaks down into formaldehyde.
In the body, it breaks down, yeah. But one branch of it is a methanol branch.
But for breaks down formaldehyde, they don't exactly have to embalm you when you die then, do they? They just slip you into the casket. You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this could be a new treatment of palliative care. just dose them up on huge amounts of artificial sweeteners before they cark it from the cancer that they got given by the artificial sweeteners, so that the undertakers don't have to embalm them.
Well, look, all the time, Calvin, I mean, we're angry for all these reasons, and rightly so, because, you know, we've got some spine here. And all the time I get people saying, well, don't get so angry, don't get so angry. I'm like, this is nothing. me cussing about John Key in my private time is nothing compared to what really should be done, you know?
Oh, mate, I'll tell you. I can give you some stories about governments. I mean, I've been around governments. I've worked for foreign governments before, you know. A lot of the stuff people have written about me, most of it, of course, they get it wrong. I was once a... what was it? Actually, we'll come back to that because this will give the National Business Review a hard time.
Hold that thought. Anybody who manages to review business should know all this. But of course they don't, which is why they're in business. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Calvin Alp, and we'll be back momentarily.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man.
Welcome back.
Everywhere, man. Across the
desert. The show that's going out everywhere. Listeners in about 48 countries, according to the Google Analytics, which I thought was very nice, including about 40 people in China. And there's one guy in particular that I can thank for that, but I won't mention his name on air. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and, of course, Rush 89 FM in Hamilton. And welcome back to our very special guest, Calvin Alp, who's just about to lay into the National Business Review, or also known as the Swastika, or NBR, short.
Agreed. Deborah Cone Hill, one of the contributing writers to that, wrote an article about me, about my involvement with the late Philip Verry over this BNZ incident I was discussing earlier. Now, the woman never once phoned me, emailed me, or tried to contact me in any way, shape, or form, but she managed to do this article, of course, deriding me and everything I stand for and who I am, et cetera, et cetera. So she basically interviewed her own typewriter and come up with this with fantasy. Now, of course, did it around Christmas time, so therefore the writer reply wouldn't have come until after that, so people would have had the holidays to digest it first. So the writer reply, of course, destroyed her. Just like earlier on last year, a guy by the name of Tim Hume, who writes for the, I think it's the Sunday Star Times, I think it is, or New Zealand Herald, sorry, I'll have to fact check that one. But he wrote an article about me as well. He rang me. I said, look, I'm not really interested in talking to you dorks because you basically take what I say, you take a smidgen of that and create a whole lot of rubbish around it. I said, why don't you just say exactly what I say and then I will wear anything that comes from it. Well, he wrote another one, you know. I mean, the heading itself, sensationalism, let's sell papers, you know, mercenary behind gold bid in Solomon Islands. That was the headline, or words to that effect. I mean, I wasn't behind any gold bid. I've already got a mining license, a gold mining license over there. I've had a 50 square kilometre concession for alluvial gold mining already now. We've been through trial mining operations. Now we know what equipment we need to maximise the gold recovery. We went into the Solomons and did a 50-50 deal with the local landowners because they've still got tribal land, not government-owned land. Everything was fine there. But, man, did we get attacked by the other gold mining companies and other companies that are there. They're there to rape these people, rape their resources, basically treat them like cattle and push them to the side while they take over their country. I'm there to say, hang on, there is a better way to do this. This gold you never thought was valuable until a white man like me come along and said, hey, we really want that because these suckers over here want to buy it for heaps, so can we get it off you? They said, okay, we entered an agreement, and there we went. So people like Tim Hume, who goes over there to investigate this type of thing, because Ramsey's there, which is Regional Assistance Mission to Solomon Islands. And I have my own thoughts and theories on them. I've worked with the Solomon government now, both sides, opposition as well, for quite a while. In fact, 3 weeks before the fall of the Zogavari government, I was asked to head a team to investigate what they call the Others. Now, this is however everyone thinks about it, it's really neither here or there, but it was a government initiated action. They believed it. They wanted to investigate and wondered why certain personnel coming under the guise of Ramsey, who had nothing to do with it, were out in particular areas known by the locals to contain UFOs, alien-type creatures, people foreign to themselves. And we were asked to do that. But that was just before the fall of the Zogavari regime. Now, the reason why they took that government down was because, and it's in Australian intelligence papers that's still come out in the court case over the former Governor-General, Julian Motti, when they illegally took him out of the country and basically trampled all over the law. Hence why my last article about the illegitimacy of the Australian and New Zealand governments have created such a furore over everything. Because I basically said, hang on, these guys come into your country, they're importing their laws and that you're just not used to. You know, we're importing stuff that you've got no idea about. We're telling you what it means, but we really know what it means over here. In other words, you're playing our game, but we're the only ones with a rule book. And basically, that country is now just another satellite Australian state, Australian New Zealand state. And I tried to educate the people and say, hey, this is what's happening. Of course, the so-called educated ones who have been educated, i.e. dumbed down, can see no wrong in it. They really can't. You know, even if they wake up tomorrow on a land they used to own, paying rent to people who live offshore, they just don't seem to grasp it. But there are a few, like the people of East Kwaio, who are basically known as Amoi. That means no. You know, they were the ones who, when the Crown decided to send a tax representative over to them to tell them that, well, basically, you know, we've come into the land you own, everything's yours, but you have to pay us tribute because there's tax because we've sucked some people in over here to indebt themselves forever. And no matter how much money you get or how much goods you sell, you'll never be able to do it because even the buying of the goods, you have to borrow the money from us to do it. So, and of course, cut a long story short, those people decided to kill him, take his head off, and 14 of the people who were with him, which I thought was a very, very good start. And there's a lot of things like this that are continuously going on. New Zealand government trying to influence the Solomon government when I was trying to help the Māori government here in New Zealand. My mindset was simple. For years we've had this, you know, us saying, you're Māori, you're moaning pack of so-and-sos, just, you know, it's modern day times. What the hell are you on about? Get on with life. Then you have them saying, hang on a minute, we would have had a very good life if your little trickery and deceit hadn't have taken all those lands and given it to people you guys didn't even know. So here we are fighting each other, you know, and over issues that have really no relevance whatsoever, while the people who created it all are still carving it up in the background. And these are the sorts of things I rally against and try to say, hang on, guys, what are you angry at him for? And when you take it right down to brass tacks, they can actually find nothing. There's no reason to be angry with each other. All because a couple of people, you know, it's like Chinese whispers. Whisper in some person's ear, that guy over there doesn't like you too much. You get your back up automatically. Then you go to the other guy. Watch that guy. He's going to get you soon. He hates him. So they both hate each other, and they'd have no idea why. They then bring their mates in. Everyone starts arguing, fighting, complaining. And while they're doing that and taking their eye off the ball, I'm raiding their gardens type thing. This is a very, very simple thing to do. And we're too stupid to see it, you know?
Yeah, instead, I know. It's like these people have never seen a Siegfried and Roy performance.
Exactly.
It's just a switch and grab, isn't it? It's just a switch and grab.
Oh, it's incredibly so. I mean, I've seen some stuff in this world that, you know, will defies logic. I mean, I'm all about common sense, logic, and reasoning. And if it doesn't make sense to me, then I want to know why. Now, a lot of what government does certainly doesn't make sense. And even to ask yourself why, it's pretty simple, because they don't work for us, never have done.
Yeah. That's a great point too, because a lot of people, a lot of these academics come out and they argue with me about, you know, why 9/11 couldn't have been an inside job or this, that, and the other, why our conspiracies are all just completely hogwash. But they're coming from a particular view of their own logic, and they're seeing the world in their own sort of, you know, sterile ways, and they haven't really experienced or read enough or gathered experience from reading history to understand just how sleight of hand works, you know?
Yeah, and they honestly believe from their ignorant viewpoint that the government wouldn't lie to them. I mean, God sakes, do me a favor. I mean, well, here we are.
Lies, they think large groups of people can't lie, though. They think it'll be leaked.
Oh, yeah, believe me, from my work with various governments, it takes a handful of people to control an entire group consisting of hundreds and sometimes thousands of people. Very, very easy to do. Very easy. Because it's highly compartmentalized. If you're only dealing with a certain area of your pay grade, so to speak, then that's all you know. As far as you're concerned, that data has to be translated and sent on to there. Once it's sent on, that's the end of your involvement. Now, when everything gets pushed upstairs, the person at the top is the only one who sees it all. See, I've had a former Freemason friend of mine. Now, not all of them are bad, but a lot of them are a pack of, you know. He said to me, James Reginald Vere McClure was his name. 16 citations in World War II, first medal at 16 on duty at Haifa. He said to me, because I said, why are you guys trying to do all this sort of stuff? You know, why don't you just let people be? You know, let us do what we're naturally meant to do. We have a creative genius that we seem to be have suppressed. We're not allowed to think anymore. We're not allowed to do this, this, this. And he goes, think of a skyscraper. I said, yeah, what's that could do with anything? You know, I thought maybe he's going to talk about the geometry and all that sort of stuff. But no, it didn't. He said, every floor, as you go up, becomes more important than the one below. He said, but at the very top, you have the penthouse. I said, yeah, that's usually where, if you're talking your way, it's like your little pyramid, everything's, you know, knowledge is collected there. He says, but how do you get to find out about a lot of the things that are going on if they are so very secret? He goes, because those penthouses have various rooms and not every one of those rooms agree with the other ones. I thought that was a pretty salient point. You know, a lot of the knowledge is leaked out to the greater masses, as it were, because they want of various people within that didn't like the way it was going. They believed, so even me to some degree, there is a greater good in achieving things without having to involve everyone else. But that's when you get into some dangerous ground, because that way you get your own moral beliefs been enforced on everyone else, hence legislation. You think of all the legislation that's been passed in the past 20 years. Most of it is someone else's moral belief and code. Like if I was drunk, if I got absolutely trashed, got in my car, drove down the road to my house and went to bed, and I damaged no personal property, what crime did I commit? Absolutely none. So what they do is they pass a law just in case you commit a crime. So everything now is we'll fine you, we'll impede your travel, we'll do everything just in case you might have done something wrong. And that's where we get in now.
And meanwhile, the road toll. And meanwhile, in New Zealand, the road toll and the amount of deaths that are being caused on the roads, just in general, drunk drivers and everybody else included, is less than a third of that get killed by the medical institutions.
That's one quick thing I wanted to ask Calvin about the spin from the media saying you don't agree with the treaty, you think the Treaty of Waitangi is an illegitimate document. Can you clarify that for our listeners?
Okay, there's actually a very good book out called The Littlewood Treaty by Dutray. Oh, geez, made him on
Martin Dutray.
Martin. He's actually an excellent guy. I like the guy. Eh?
He's a good dude. Eh? I've had a long couple of conversations with him. Yeah,
I mean, in 2001, he put up a big investigation part into 9/11's Pentagon thing before it became popular, you know, and basically proved that there's no way it was a plane. I mean, geez, even my kids said, how does that work? You know, when they're asking, there's something wrong. When you can't con a kid, you know the game's up. But there's more than one Treaty of Waitangi. You see, the government here operates under the guise that the Treaty of Waitangi, the English version, that had 33 signatures, is the end-all and be-all. There was actually many different treaties written backwards and forwards, and even under international law, it's the one in the native language that takes precedence, and they never once gave sovereignty away. You're not going to declare sovereignty in 1835 only to give it all away, including everything you own and have fought wars for, 5 years later. It's just not going to happen. You know, reality dictates there's something wrong. So basically what they said to King William was, you come over here, there's a whole lot of whiteys who are getting out of control. Can you come over and you govern them? And make sure they stick to this, that one, and the other. We'll do our thing. Anything we need to sort out and negotiate, we'll come together and we'll do it that way. That never happened. The Māori Te Tiriti o Waitangi had just 533 signatures on it. That's the one that should be, you know, should be the one that's used. The government tells you.
Well, you know what's interesting is that everything that should be done seems to be getting turned back in every way you could think of. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh, yeah. It's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Well, that's right.
That's all part of it. That's foreplay.
Foreplaying with the New World Order. On the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Thank goodness for American Freedom Radio. Like, seriously, if it wasn't for American Freedom Radio, I don't think this world would still be here. No. Welcome back also to our very, very extremely ridiculously awesome special guest, Calvin Alp. Calvin, welcome back, mate.
Hey.
Yeah, we're discussing over the break about religion, and you know, you've got so much content that you could possibly put out on the show, so we're definitely going to have you back again sometime. So we have our final segment here.
Probably not too good a time to get into religion, but
maybe not.
Your breakdown, your, I don't know, 10 or 15 points on society going to hell in the handbasket right now as we speak.
That might be a better one.
Yeah, oh no, I think the other one, rather than go off on a tirade on the other side, there needs to be like clarification after I say things. So therefore, it's probably best we, you know, don't give people the wrong impression on that side of things. But if we trace how everything's gone and we look back, again, just simply using logic, common sense and reason. Let's go back to 20 or 30 years ago when you got a typical family. That's when actually families, you know, were families these days. Seems okay not to have one. But one man's wage could take care of the mortgage. It could take care of the all the clothes the kids needed, all the groceries. It could pay for the car. It could take them all away on holiday, you know, once a year and get those nice little things that everyone wants and spend family time on the weekends. Now you got both parents forced out to work, both working their guts out just so they can afford to be broke and still not being able to get ahead. Now, this is what happened. Now, what could possibly have happened in 20 or 30 years to enable that? Two things, really. First, you had the feminist movement, which is like, let's burn the bras. We're just as good as you guys. we want to work as well. Sure. Now, how did that come about? Simple, because now we can tax the other half of the population. You see? Let's loan more money. Let's do this. Let's encourage everyone to come out.
It was a smart move. And guess who funded the feminist campaigns? The Rockefellers!
Exactly right.
People were loaning money to the government and asking for debt collateral on...
Indeed. And now that they've all done that, are you still there, Will?
Still there, mate. Still there. I think Vinny just had a little blackout there.
He might have blown a fuse.
Just the boys at Langley having a bit of fun. But, yeah, carry on, Kelvin.
No worries. Where was I? Oh, jeez, I tell you. I could...
Oh, the feminist movement, the whole... I mean...
Yeah, we bring him out.
It's become a big government worship syndrome, aren't we?
Well, it's huge, mate. I mean, it's absolutely huge. And then while both parents are working their guts out just so they can afford to be broke over here, that leaves the children unattended to go rampant, go loose, and we wonder why society goes to hell. But meanwhile, we'll blame the parents, okay? We'll force the parents out of the house, but then we'll pull a double jeopardy and we'll blame them for the fact that they can no longer look after the kids. So being the government, we then have to control them. We have to educate the kids, and we have to educate them our way. We have to make them into productive members of the cattle society of tomorrow so they can stand in line in their herringbone sheds, and they can be milked until they're no longer relevant, put out to pasture, where we will give them very little to look after them in their retirement after we've sucked the life force out of them. And this basically is what's happening. We are nothing. We are cattle to these people, you know. But people say, oh, you're just a conspiracy. Now, I'm a conspiracy factualist, because if you look around, everything I've just said is fact. You can't deny it. You can't, no matter which way you want to mix it up, it can't be changed. That's exactly what, you know. I'm grateful for people like yourselves, people like your former guest, you know, Jonathan Eisen, even people like the people I know, the Rupert Bulton, people like that who have come on and expressed their parts. Everyone seems to be attacking a small portion of the problem. No one is going for the whole lot. I mean, I've been told, oh, why did you decide to go into politics? Yeah, true. I tried to create the Direct Democracy Party here in New Zealand. We got absolutely hammered. We got no airtime, and, of course, it was more about character assassination than it was paying attention to the message that was being put forward. And because we weren't suck-ups and we wouldn't, you know, be on our knees for everyone,
I've got a lot of respect for you, and I actually gave a vote for direct democracy. And, yeah, seeing as there's no other party in this country who was willing to stand up against the banking system, the fractional reserve banking system. And around 2005 was when I was waking up and properly and seeing this stuff. And, you know, so a huge amount of credit there, mate, I can tell you. And we do need to take on the system as a whole. You're right. It's not good enough to nitpick here and there. We need to go to the belly of the beast and take it on and see if what it is. And people need to be stopped being afraid of the hand that feeds them, supposedly, because we can feed ourselves.
I agree. I mean, I wrote the policies for the party. In fact, I got a bit perturbed over here because you can't get anywhere. Mainstream media is well and truly wrapped up here. They're all bought and paid for. You know, you need to look at the Māoris in government who can actually force a change. They actually... they're basically you bend them over, and it's like, you know, made in Parliament, these people. So,
good way of putting it. Do you have a website there we can plug, or?
No, I haven't actually.
That's fine.
It'll probably be to put it up anyway.
Thank you very much, and Vinny's back with us now. I'll let Vinny wrap it up, but thanks, mate. We'll have you back on.
No worries at all, guys.
Indeedy doody. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for sticking with us through all these technical effing glitches that we happen to have on occasion. You know, I wish it was some kind of conspiracy. It would make me feel better, but apparently not. Thanks for listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Our very special guest was Kelvin Alp. You can check out that interview on the Kiwi Collaborator section of the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. And we'll definitely have you on again sometime in the future, my friend.
Appreciate it.